Right. There was a good question about why not just hear the budget, nothing else, and go home. You know, one of those nothing else bills, for example, is trying to work out an agreement on surprise billing.
Right.
We're about to have a lot of surprise billing in the state of Oklahoma as we increase our hospital infrastructure, where people will be going to wherever the closest ER is, and that ER group may or may not be on their insurance. That physician group may or may not be on their insurance. That hospital may or may not be insurance. So, I mean, all of a sudden, some of these bills that look like they're not big deals become really big deals. We will be more careful on what we hear, but it's important, number one, citizens need to know. I think the real takeaway is citizens need to know their government is working fine, but it's being cautious. And it's setting up contingency plans. If the worst case scenario were to happen, we have the ability to use, at least in the House, to use the proxy vote system to pass a budget, which is really one of the only areas that I see that system being used.
I suppose the technology, I have one other. I suppose the technology allows for more flexibility for this kind of thing. At the same time, the conservative Republican you probably bristles a little bit at the notion of, the government's going to tell us what's good for us, and what's good for you is to stay away from your government while they're in action.
That's right.
So how do you balance? Can you speak to that?
I'll give a couple examples. I'm glad. One of the things I said to the caucus, I was instrumental in negotiating Rule 15. So I'll answer it two ways. One is having fewer people at the Capitol. The other is Rule 15, which is what allows proxy voting. I actually told my caucus today that if Rule 15 was in next year's set of rules, I wouldn't vote for them. Meaning I wouldn't vote even if I was still floor leader. I didn't cast that vote lightly. The idea of proxy voting to me is not a good idea. But I have searched all around the floor leader's office for the playbook on how to handle a global pandemic. And they don't have one here. We do the very best job we know how to do. And you try to both set a good example to the public and still get your job done. Now, as far as, so that's the one. The secondary issue is shutting down access to the Capitol. Admittedly, this is a little easier for me. I'm probably, if I'm not the most accessible member, I'm one of the most accessible members. I put my cell phone on everything. Every card I have has my cell phone on it. I'm very active on social media, not just posting. I respond, I engage. My citizens, one of the best feedbacks I get is how responsive I am on emails. So I'm really out there. So it's a little easier on me. But the conservative in me, though, part of the reason I'm so out there is because I believe government needs a watchdog. Now, I'm towards the tail end of my legislative career. I only have 4 years left after this before I'm term limited. I think a lot about what this building is going to be like when I'm gone. And the reason I do support the measure fully, though, and support the restrictions, is because we have to continue to be able to function as a legislature. And for the members that are here, we chose to be up here. So I understand some of putting, you know, I've received death threats. I've received all types of things. Some of putting yourselves in a little bit of harm's way is you signed up for it. But we have staff up here that's far more people than the members that really are susceptible to large groups. And nowhere in the state do as many people from all around the state come as the Oklahoma State Capitol. So I feel like it was, given the time frame that we're in now, the right call. But I will be the very first to argue when the curve starts going down to lift those restrictions. But while the curve continues to go up of coronavirus cases, it seems like a step that has to be made. No different than, I don't think, President Trump enjoys telling people to stay inside. I mean, the conservative in me bristles at that. The conservative in me says, you know, government's not going to tell me what to do. But at the same time, government is telling me what to do because it makes sense. And it's us working together and collectively. And there's a difference between being a conservative and being an anarchist. I mean, conservatives do believe in small, limited government. But We also believe in banding together and collecting together. We believe in the social contract that we decide to live in as a society, and we think it's the right call to make short-term sacrifices for the greater good, which is what we really have to do right now.
Do you think there's ultimately a likelihood? Do you get a sense of whether the caucus or both chambers would like to get done far earlier than normal? You know,
the reality is, I don't know that we could get done far earlier than normal, because we really need to see what the economy and our collections look like before we pass a budget. I mean, I think what's going to happen is we are going to adjourn on Tuesday to a call of the chair, and we don't know when we're coming back. And if cases continue to rise, meaning coronavirus cases, we're only coming back to deal with bills that are helpful to the problem or are the budget. If hopefully what we all want to have happen, cases plateau and things get better, or I shouldn't even say things get better because that implies they're bad. The truth is right now things are not bad. We're taking preemptive measures. And what's the goal of all these preemptive measures? The goal of all these preemptive measures is that 3 months from now, everybody looks at us and see you alarmists, you overreacted. That's the goal. The reason why we're doing the things we're doing, adjourning to a call of the chair and not saying when we're going to come back, shutting down access to the Capitol so there's not larger gatherings. So 3 months from now, we're looking back and they say, see you alarmists, it was not that big of a deal. Because what that means is all the preventative measures worked. I hope I'm in that scenario. I hope I'm in a scenario where I have to defend these actions because nothing that big ever happened. I will take that scenario over I have to defend inaction because something did big happen, because the consequences of something big happening is people's lives.
Any big, you mentioned surprise billing. Obviously, I think both chambers would like to get the COLA bill done.
The nurse anesthetist bill, I would say, is a huge bill that we need to get done. We have an agreement between the nurse anesthetist and the anesthesiologist. We need to get that bill done. The COLA, we need to get that bill done. That's an important bill. The surprise billing package that we're trying our best to put together, we need to get that done. Representative Chad Caldwell has a bill that will make it easier for doctors from out of state to come into the state of Oklahoma. We need to get that bill done.
Is that the DO bill?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we need
to get... It needs an FBI, or the FBI yep. won't do a background check or something yep. along those
we
lines.
We need to get that bill done. There are several bills out there, and not that other legislation that we're not doing is not maybe good legislation, because it you know, often I'm a metro guy, so I look at some of these urban bills and think... these rural bills and think that's not as big a deal. But our rural members look at some of the issues that are big to me in the metro and say, what do you care about that?
Sure.
So not that these other issues aren't important, but I think you'll see more of a focus on, unless things subside and we go back to normal, until then, you're going to see more of a focus on bills that are large priorities. And we'll have to analyze those things and see where we go. But yeah. but nobody knows when we're, after tomorrow... Nobody knows when we're coming back.
Right. Two more things. OU Medicine has a request to be exempted from sales tax.
I think that's a big deal.
A commitment to reinvest that money as a way to open up more residency spots.
Yep.
Okay. And then let's go back to the streaming. If the public is going to be accessing this a lot more, a lot of your rural members would talk about the importance of increasing broadband. I think Representative Phillips may have a measure. There's some other measures floating around. Can you talk about, is this going to hammer it home for some people that, you know, rural broadband is a huge issue?
Yes, I think on all of those things. I mean, I think you just hit why it's harder in one day. Every issue you hit, obviously, is a large issue here, both getting the broadband, rural broadband issue is a big deal. Finding a way to get OU, its deduction is a big deal. And that hits why it's not as simple to just say, okay, well, we're done. We're just going to hear the budget and go home. It's just a little bit more complicated than that. Well, I think everybody's saying the same thing in that we want to prioritize bills, but that process is the process we're going to have to go towards. But I can be doing that process whether we're in session or not.
You probably usually are.
I'm doing that process more when we're not. All right, buddy, I got a few people outside.